Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. Noel's with us again.
And it's another morning edition.
Yeah.
We got an email. I think we had our last morning thing session not too long ago, and someone wrote in and said, please don't do that again.
I didn't think it was that bad.
You guys are clearly, like, really tired and not the same. So what I say is, if you have a choice, is save this one for the morning and just pretend like we're your local NPR station. Pour up a cup of Joe, like Josh is drinking.
Yeah. Caramel and vanilla.
Yeah, it smells so good. And let's do this morning style.
Let's do it, man. Let's do this morning style in Italian.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fan favorite, I predict, because there's some Italian pronunciations that I'm sure you will do for everybody, right?
I'm going to do my best.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Get a little taste of it.
Yes, that's one of the accents you can have a great time with without people saying that you're offensive.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So, Chuck, you heard about them sea levels?
Yeah, rising, falling.
Yeah, due to climate change.
Some say.
Well, it's climate change. The big bone of contention is whether it's human-caused.
Right, right.
Or anthropogenic.
Yeah.
The thing is, it is undeniable that sea levels are rising.
Yes.
At a rate of about 3 millimeters a year.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like much, but buddy, if you live for 1,000 years, mm-hmm. you'd see the sea levels rise by 3 meters.
Yeah.
Which is almost 10 feet in America.
Yeah, not the biggest deal in some parts of the world. Big deal in Venice.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're waiting 1,000 years to watch it rise 3 meters, that's the current rate of sea level rise. It could speed up tremendously. And while 3 millimeters might not sound that much to you out in the Rockies.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's nice and dry there in the middle of the mountain. Right?
And they're all stoned.
Right. Yeah, because it's legal there.
Yeah, who cares?
If you're in a place like the Maldives, you're saying, wow, my country is probably not going to exist in the next, like, 20 years.
Yeah, that's scary.
If you're in New Orleans,
yeah,
worried about the same thing. And a little town known as Venice, Italy, is facing the same problem and has been for a very long time.
And you say little town, it is getting smaller, not only physically, but the population, because Venice is such a mess, has declined down to about 60,000 people now.
Yeah.
Over the years from, 180.
Yes.
Because people are tired of getting wet.
They are. They used to get wet, say back in 1900, they would get wet about 10 times a year due to flooding. They could expect 10 noteworthy floods a year. And when we say noteworthy floods, we mean like the squares, throughout the city are flooded up to maybe your knees.
Yeah, kind of like the whole ground floor of Venice.
Yeah, gets flooded, like you're slogging around, which, I mean, sounds kind of fun when you're a kid, but it's not that fun.
Right.
Especially when you're an adult who may be a germaphobe, because Venice has an antiquated sewer system.
That's, antiquated is, the perfect word.
Yeah, by antiquated we mean all of the, sewer pipes go right out into the canals.
Yep.
And they have along the years added like septic tanks to treat the stuff first, but not everybody has those.
Right.
And sometimes they get backed up too. But the raw sewage or septically treated sewage in Venice goes into those canals that you float around in on boats. And when you're swimming around in the flood, like a tourist, you're swimming around in fecal material.
Did tourists get in that water?
There's a picture of it on a, I can't remember. I think like a Bloomberg article about Venice.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe Wired. But it's like, if you know about Venice, you'll think these people are crazy for swimming in this flood water. And it shows a couple of tourists like swimming in a flood in the middle of the square. The San Marco Square.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now that you know, it's gross to see.
They're like, it tastes briny and sort of umami.
Right. Why are my lips swollen? Yeah, that's one of many, many problems facing Venice right now, an antiquated sewer system. And a lot of the problems are unique just because of the city and how it's created.
Yeah, let's talk about this because Venice is not something I knew a ton about. I knew it was on the water. I knew it was sinking.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out, by the way, to Venice is Sinking. Athens band.
Oh, okay.
And Stuff You Should Know fans.
Oh, nice. Well, then I like them already.
Yes. Noel, you know those guys? He does, in fact.
Noel says, mm-hmm. Noel talks. Jerry doesn't.
What if he was real loud and was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're great.
He launches into like a 5-minute discourse on them.
So I knew a little bit about Venice. Very little, though. I'd never been there. But when I watched this awesome video that Josh found.
Yeah.
We should go ahead and plug it because it's just super cool.
Yeah, it's called Venice Backstage, How Does Venice Work?
Yeah.
And it was created by the Insula Spa, which is, I guess, the production arm of the city of Venice.
Yeah.
So it's like a locally produced video about Venice, but it's one of the most fascinating, like, 18-minute videos I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, they pack a lot of learning into that 18 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know much about Venice, imagine, if you do know something about New York City, imagine, like, the Greenwich Village. And I use Greenwich Village because it's not on, like, the direct, like, north, south, east, west grid. They got all those crazy diagonal streets. Imagine if...
Plus, it's so hot right now because of Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, true. Imagine Greenwich Village if every block was an island. And that's essentially what Venice is.
Right.
It is 124 tiny little islands all packed together.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of streets, you have water,
mm-hmm.
183 canals, and it's all connected by little footbridges and real bridges.
Yep. And yes, canals by boat.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy when I had never even seen like the big zoom in from above bird's eye view of what Venice looks like. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's what's going on?
Yeah, it's crazy. Cause I mean, especially when you're in the city, like you're walking over canals, but you don't give too much thought to them. You're just like, oh, that's so quaint.
Yeah.
You're almost thinking like they dug that out on purpose or something to get tourists. No, those are necessity.
Yeah. It's odd. It was an odd and different way for a city to form.
Right.
They didn't start from a city center and grow out. Each little block and section was its own little thing.
Yeah, it was kind of its own little municipality.
Yeah.
And the reason that these people set up shop hundreds and hundreds of years ago on these islands was for protection.
Yeah.
Venice was a very well-protected municipality or cluster of municipalities, right?
Yeah, it sits in a lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three waterways that flow water in and out every day, twice a day with the tides.
Yeah, the Adriatic flows in to the lagoon and brings it out, brings the water back out at low tide, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, high tide, it brings the water in. Low tide, it takes the water out, which is why they're not that worried about their sewage going into the canals.
Supposedly, yeah.
Because the water comes in and kind of brings all the trash out to the sea, and then no one sees it. So
they're
it's fine.
It's a self-flushing system.
Yeah, well, I mean, it pretty much is. So that's how they've been able to put up with that for so long, because twice a day, the water is exchanged. There is a big exchange to it. The problem is, when that water comes in, especially when you include sea level rises and now up to 6 times more flooding per year. Remember, it was like 10 times a year in 1900.
Yeah.
Now it's up to about 60 floods.
Yeah.
You have kind of a problem now. You've got you have a sinking city, essentially, is what it amounts to.
Yeah. I mean, it's two things. It's the water rises and Venice itself the buildings are sinking. So
right.
Those are two bad things that go, you know, that don't taste great together.
The reason that it's sinking is because they extract fresh water from beneath the city, right?
Yeah.
So there's less of a solid foundation now. And there's also drilling nearby.
Yeah.
Like for natural gas or fossil fuels. And it's also just eroding.
Well, yeah, they've done a lot of things over the years. When you've got seawater lapping up against, well, let's step back. It's not just dirt and stuff. They realized pretty early on, we're not going to be around unless we encase the entire city basically in brick.
Yeah.
Below the water line.
And they came up with some really ingenious construction methods that you can
see. Super ingenious.
In that Venice backstage video on Vimeo.
Is it Vimeo?
Yeah.
But even though they've ensconced the whole city in brick as a foundation, that's with lapping salt water, and it's, you know, these canals are busy. It's not just the gondolier singing the song. Like, they're, if you see real footage and not movie footage, mm-hmm. they're packed with boats.
Oh, yeah.
Motorboats, cruise ships, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And that action creates a lot of movement in the water, and it just whittles away at those bricks little by little over the years, over hundreds and hundreds of years.
That's right.
And then that's why Venice is sinking.
Part of the other problem, too, is sediment builds up in the canals. They're supposed to close them down on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah.
Basically dam them up, drain them, and then remove the sediment and basically clean
it out. All the dead bodies.
Yeah. They stopped doing that as frequently as before, and there's been a problem as a result. Plus, salt water permeates bricks. Bricks are semi-permeable.
Yeah.
And they have capillary action, so it draws salt water up into the bricks, which, I mean, as long as bricks are connected by mortar, that salt water will rise all the way to the top of a building.
Yeah.
And when the water evaporates, the water's gone, but the salt stays, and it apparently increases in volume tremendously and basically yeah. crushes the bricks from the inside out.
Yeah, and they've been taking steps and measures little by little in different ways over the years to help, but they're kind of fighting a losing battle. They like inject resin into the, between the bricks and into the bricks with like hydraulics.
A barrier.
But, you know, they're fighting, like I said, they're fighting Mother Nature here.
Right. So finally they've said, let's turn our attention from these piecemeal measures of, you know, kind of treating bricks. And go to where the problem is. Let's go to the doorstep of the problem, which is the Adriatic and the three inlets into the lagoon.
Yeah.
And they turn their attention to that, and now they've come up with a pretty great plan for dealing with rising tides and floodwaters.
And I think we will get to that plan right after this break.
I knew you were going to say that.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on! All right, so there's a plan. You know, one thing on that video, too, quickly, that amazed me, you're talking about the building construction. The walls in Venice, the exterior walls, have a tendency to bow out at the top.
Mm.
And so they have these basically hooks that pull from the inside the walls in, and then those long metal hooks travel into the floor where they're spiked into the floor. So they're trying to pull it in there. And then the roofs of the buildings in Venice aren't just like, hey, let's keep the water out. They are literally like caps that lock the walls in.
Right.
At the top.
Yeah.
So it's not just like a weather protector roof. It's actually like, if the roof wasn't there, the walls would bow out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the interior walls don't even connect rigidly to the exterior walls.
Yeah, it allows some give so that they can move back and forth as the wave action basically moves the walls.
So, I mean, we're saying Venice is a mess, but it's really an ingenious city of just engineering,
mm-hmm.
the fact that it's still there at all.
Right.
You know?
Another construction point that kind of stuck out to me was that buildings in Venice are built on piles of stakes, wooden stakes driven into the ground to kind of reinforce the mucky ground to build on first.
It's really a remarkable place when you look at all the things they've had to do just to make that what shouldn't even be a city. I mean, let's get real.
But it's a very neat, beautiful city. Have you been?
No.
You and I went last summer, and it is gorgeous.
Yeah, I did
it,
Rome,
it's
and
very
that's
neat.
It.
Yeah. Rome's neat, too.
Yeah.
Just walking around, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I'm next to 3,000-year-old ruins.
It's
just basically part of the cityscape.
Right. Whereas here in Atlanta, you're like, oh, there's a Burger King.
Right. But it's from the 60s.
Right, exactly. All right, so we had a pretty good cliffhanger that they had an idea. So go ahead, announce it.
Oh, okay. Well, the idea is called Mose, or you should do this, Chuck.
The modulo sperimentale. Electromecanico.
Not bad.
Electromecanico.
So that's the experimental electromechanical module, which is the reason that has that clumsy name.
Yeah.
Is because the MOSE, the acronym, is also the Italian spelling for Mose or Moses.
Yeah.
And basically what Moses was well known for, one of his many hits, was parting the Red Sea, right? Well, they thought that was very clever.
That was his biggest hit.
They were coming. I don't know. He did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Ten Commandments, that was a pretty big hit. Burning Bush.
I would say the Red Sea was his American Pie. Or no. Yeah, that was his Baker Street. The Ten Commandments was his right down the line.
Who did?
Jerry Rafferty.
Baker Street? That was the saxophone one, right?
Yeah. And right down the line was his other hit.
So I'd never heard that one.
You have. You just don't know it.
Okay. Says you.
I was just about to bust it out. Too early.
So anyway, Moses in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
That's a clever use of an acronym because this thing, the contraption they came up with, it's pretty ingenious and clever to defend against these rising high tides, which are known as aqua alta.
Yeah. And this is one of those things where you say ingenious and clever, but I would add in its simplicity.
Right.
These are my favorite kinds of projects when man looks at something and says, well, why don't we just build a big gate?
And that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but it is more complicated than that.
And let's talk about the Mose. So remember we said sea levels are rising in general, but high tides are a really big problem in Venice.
Yeah.
Because they're getting higher. So the Mose project consists of a bunch of gates that can be brought up and raised on command. They have a magician who commands the gates to rise. The gates come up and basically separate the lagoon from the Adriatic Sea.
Yeah, so imagine a big, huge steel door that lays flat on the bottom of the ocean. And they fill it with air, and it's got two hinges on one side. So that big steel door just raises up as it fills with air, obviously becoming more buoyant, until it looks like about a 45-degree angle facing out into the sea, away from the city. And that's it. It's just a barrier.
Yeah.
It just swings up, and I think there's about a 2-foot differential in the water levels, and it essentially prevents high tide from happening within the Venice Lagoon.
That's exactly right. And these basically walls, floating walls is what they amount to. Like you said, they have hinges on the bottom. And there's all sorts of pictures of the MOSE project, the MOSE project, all over the internet. I found it exponentially easier to understand when I saw what they were talking about.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's all it is?
Right. Yeah. But it'll allow us to clumsily try to get this across. So you've got the hinges hinge the metal wall to the bottom of the seafloor, right?
Well, not to the seafloor.
Well, to a concrete trench.
Yeah.
Within the seafloor that the thing sits in when it's not in use.
Yeah, they tried to pound it right into the sand, and they were like, it's not a working.
Right.
Get us some concrete.
So these trenches also provide a place for engineers to go underneath and basically fix things and fiddle with stuff. And it also provides the delivery system for the compressed air that the hollow metal walls, gates basically, fill up with air so that they start to stand upright.
Yeah, and how long does that take?
Like 20 minutes or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it takes about the same time for it to fill them with seawater again to return them back to their laying position on the floor.
And it was a little quicker going down, but which makes sense.
Yes. But that's pretty much it. When the high tide's coming, they fill them with air so that the gates stand up above water.
Yeah.
And then on the lagoon side, the sea level stays low. On the seaside, it can get as high as it likes. And because they're hinged and filled with air, they're not rigid, which means that they can take a pounding and they can sway back and forth a little bit and still not give.
Yeah.
So it is, like you said, it's ingenious in its simplicity.
It is. And it officially launched in 2003. And this was after years and years of, I guess, ideas and bids and plans. And the MOSE project is what finally won out. They said it was going to be $2 to $3 billion and would be done in 2012. It's still not done. They're looking at 2016 now. They did the first successful test late last year. And like with every big project, city project like that, it's going to be over budget and over schedule.
Yes, but there's a lot of accusations of corruption.
Really?
Yeah.
Southern Italy, a big public project.
So
corrupt.
the group that suggested the thing in the first place is called the. You want to take it?
Someone's going to be offended by me, by the way.
Maybe. I'll bet they're not Italian though.
Consorzio Venezia Nuova.
So that's basically the New Venice Consortium. It's a group of companies and construction companies that said, "Hey, we've got an idea for this problem. Let's try this.
Yeah.
And we'll build it for you."
We have all the companies under our banner that can provide everything you need.
Right. And they said, we'll build it for you for $2 to $3 billion.
Sure.
And everybody went, what? Which sounds like a lot, including to people in Venice.
Is that American dollars or is that euros?
That's American dollars.
Okay.
As far as I'm seeing right here.
Yeah.
But if you go to Venice, like, martini's like $15 or 25.
What?
No, it's like 20 or 25 bucks for like a little tiny martini at Harry's Bar. I know.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a lot, but all you have to do is go open the cash register at Harry's Bar on a Tuesday afternoon and you can get $2 to $3 billion to pay for this project, you know?
All right. Someone's a little salty about their Venice.
It was really expensive.
Yeah, it is.
It was neat, but it's also like really expensive.
Europe's not cheap.
No. So there was a lot of accusations of corruption, of kickbacks, of the thing being artificially expensive.
Yeah.
Apparently there was a study that found like this thing is, they've padded this tremendously. But by the time this came out, public opinion apparently wasn't enough to stop it. Construction had started. They did their first test in 2012. Apparently it was successful. And the MOSE project continues. And I believe they're tracking for 2016.
They are.
To have all of the gates across all three of the inlets operational.
Yeah, and you said multiple gates. So each of these inlets, you have the Lido, the Malamocco, and then I pronounce this Chioggia, but I heard it much, much differently on the video. So I know that's not right. But those are the three inlets, and
well, that was a British dude, and they just pronounce things however they want.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we assume because they're European, they know.
You're right. So it's not like one big gate for each of these things because it's on a curve and you can't just have one huge gate. So the Malamocco and the Chioggia have, the Malamocco has 19 gates. The Chioggia has 18 and they're all in one row. And then the Big Daddy, the Lido, has two rows, one with 20 gates and one with 21 gates.
Yeah.
And they're not all the same they're the same width, but they're not all the same height.
Right. And, I mean, they don't need to be.
No, some are taller than others. They're all about 16 feet thick. So these are huge, huge walled gates.
So, yeah, I think we should, I don't know if we've gotten across how big they are. You said they're 16 feet or about 5 meters thick.
Yeah.
They're the deepest amount of water is 100 feet, which is like 30 meters. So these things are taller than that.
Yeah.
Or if need be.
Yeah.
And then they're, about 350 tons?
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey, everyone. Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I think that's just for like one of the gates.
Yes.
Like one single panel weighs as much as a 737, or is it 747?
A 747, and they are using something that Rolls-Royce makes that is basically an elevator for ships to convey each of the gates out to the seafloor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it takes 3 days to move a gate.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're really, really big gates.
Yeah.
But they are going to be very nimble when filled with compressed air and smacked around by waves.
Plus they're in water.
Yeah.
So that helps with the weight.
That reminds me that this project faces a lot of problems that the project faces. So there's some people have said, maybe this is a good idea in theory, but practically this may or may not work. What if sea levels rise faster than we think?
Yeah.
Then these things are going to basically be very expensive, totally obsolete.
Yeah.
Gates.
Like the water would just go right over the top of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare scenario.
Yeah. That when I saw what I saw, it didn't look like to me they came out of the water enough. I was like, I would add another 5 feet.
Yeah.
Just to be safe.
Just to be safe.
You know?
So that's one possible problem. Another one that apparently they haven't addressed is the buildup of sediment. Remember we said that you have to clean out the canals pretty frequently because sediment builds up.
Yeah.
Backs up septic systems. It crumbles brick walls. Well, it will also fill in these trenches, which apparently need to be totally flat.
Yeah.
And as sediment builds up, then these things aren't going to lay flat again, and you may have some problems. Apparently, that's something that hasn't been addressed by the Mosaic project, how to deal with sediment buildup.
Well, I know they got about 150 people that will just be full-time caretaking staff. And I guess part of their job will be to clean that stuff up, huh?
I would guess.
And some of the other problems, anytime you're undertaking a project like this that has to interact with the elements in Mother Nature, there are going to be environmental concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And they range the spectrum here from we don't really know how this is going to affect things and disrupt the ecosystem to, well, wait a minute, we need this constant flow in and out of water twice a day to flush our giant toilet that we're living in.
Right.
And proponents will say, it's going to be better, actually. Because, and it sort of makes sense. If there's, if you have three holes going into something and you plug up two of them, mm-hmm. you're going to have a stronger flow in the one hole.
Right, exactly. So they're saying we can actually use this yeah. to manipulate this flow of water artificially.
And make a better toilet flusher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that hopefully the ones who are like, well, but why don't we just use this as a, an opportunity to update our septic system as a whole. Or yeah. sewer system as a whole. Hopefully those guys will win out.
But pollution, increased pollution levels are definitely an issue that environmentalists are looking at. And, I just get the picture in southern Italy. It's a tough game, you know? There seems to be a lot of fighting. Like, this is a very controversial project.
Yeah, but.
And it still remains so.
Yeah, and it seems to be marching on. One of the other criticisms was that they basically just ignored easier, less expensive options
right.
that have proven effective elsewhere.
Yeah, like, the Netherlands.
Yeah, or like building barrier islands,
yeah.
underwater dikes. But although apparently they have a lot of this stuff already and it's not necessarily helping, it's mainly just reinforcing the natural barriers that already exist.
Yeah.
I guess they're like, why don't we just put up more of that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to... It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I really hope it works because they've sunk a lot of money into this. And they moved all in on this Mosé system.
Yeah.
Like they can't scrap it and say, well, it didn't work. Let's think of something new.
Yeah. And I wonder how much it would be to just like that. You can't just add a new gate, a new taller gate if the sea levels do rise faster and the ones they have proved too short. Because it has to sit flush in the trench.
Yeah.
So you'd have to create a whole nother trench to accommodate this larger gate. It'd be a real problem. That's the worst case scenario to me.
Is if it's, yeah.
If they're too short.
Yeah, the water laps. Yeah. I mean, surely they thought of that. It didn't look right to me, but they know what they're doing, right?
I hope so.
Pretty neat. And hopefully, you know, they had all this in that great video, a lot of footage where it looked like some parts of Venice on a daily basis with high tide is slightly underwater.
Yeah.
They just showed people walking to work through water and delivering stuff to places through water. Mm-hmm. And everyone looks very sick of it.
Yeah. Go check out, on Vimeo, Venice Backstage. That is definitely worth watching. Venice Backstage, period. How does Venice work? I think they meant to put a colon there. The period bugs me. A period in a title?
They're from England, Josh.
No, these are the Venetians that made this.
They're from Venice, Josh. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, and check out stuff on the Mose project.
Mose.
I just want to say Mose from Paper Moon.
Your favorite movie, right?
Yeah.
Boom.
And if you want to learn even more about the Mose project, you can type in M-O-S-E project in the search bar at howstuffworks.com, and that will bring up this article.
Yeah, and hey, check out Venice is Sinking from Athens, Georgia.
Yeah, that's nice of you.
My one buddy is no longer in the band, but...
You're still friendly with the other guys?
No, they haven't been in touch, actually, but they sent a record, and they're good folk.
Well, and if you ever get a chance to go to Venice, I recommend you do it, because it is a neat town.
But don't go to Harry's Bar.
You have to go to Harry's Bar.
Is that the legendary place?
That's where the Bellini was created.
Why didn't you have a Bellini?
You had $40? A Bellini. She had a Bellini, I had a martini.
What is a Bellini?
A Bellini's a... peach juice,
right.
Peach puree, and champagne.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah.
But again, it's like basically a shot for, I think it was like $25 or maybe even more.
Yeah.
But you have to. You have to go there. You walk past the seat that Hemingway used to drink at.
Right.
You know, it's a neat place.
Yeah, there's a lot of those seats around the world, though.
Yeah, right.
You know, find a cheaper one.
Yeah. I think we already went through the whole rigmarole that leads us up to listener mail. So now it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this Murderer in Our Midst. Not Murderer
what?
In the Mist. That's different.
You're thinking of Gorillas in the Mist.
Hey, guys, I have a boring job, so I binge listen several days a week to your show. I was listening to the Insanity Defense episode, and I heard a very familiar name. I happen to have met John Delling during his killing spree. I used to manage a coffee shop, and a guy was oddly peering in the window with his hand pressed against the glass, though the store was clearly open. He paced around the building for a while, thought it was pretty weird, so I sent the girl working with me. Pretty brave of you, Josh. His name is Josh, by the way.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what did I do?
I sent the girl working with me in the back. Oh, no.
Okay.
I take it all back. He was trying to protect her.
And that was me.
I sent her in the back and told her to hang out there until he left. He came in, looked the menu over, and asked if our ice cream was any good. I gave him a free sample.
Here you go. We don't want any trouble.
He liked it. He liked it and said he had to go to his car to get some money. He literally said, I'll be right back. Then he went out to his car for a while and drove away. A couple of days later, the girl I was working with that night called crying and told me to find a newspaper. Well, no wonder he sent it back. She's clearly fragile. She's crying. That, like, the guy was at the front door.
Did you see that Sunday New York Times is $6 now?
On the front page was a large mugshot of our guy from a couple of nights previous. Turns out he had actually left the store and murdered someone.
Crazy.
And
because the ice cream drove him nuts.
I guess so. And he stole something, stole their car that same evening. Anyway, just thought it was an interesting connection. The guy was definitely in need of some help. And as you mentioned, had no shot at getting it in the legal system here in Idaho. It is clearly a tricky ethical area. Thanks, everybody. And that is from Josh Knoll.
That's from way back, huh? The insanity defense?
Yeah.
That was a good one, though, it turned out.
Yeah.
We learned a lot.
So he fed a guy ice cream and he went out and killed someone.
Man, that is really scary stuff.
And his coworker, who was around for none of it, cried when she read the paper.
Yeah. Apparently she never got any work done because anytime a customer came in, she'd get sent to the back. You know?
Yeah.
Crazy. What was the dude's name?
Josh Knoll.
Oh, yeah, Josh. Thanks, Josh. It's always good to hear from another Josh because we are the greatest names on the planet. Josh. That's such a great name.
It is.
Especially if you say it in other ways, like Yosh or Hosh.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of ways you can say Josh, but really the only right way to say it is Josh.
And it's a verb.
Yeah.
You can Josh.
And it's a friendly verb, too, because you're making fun of somebody, but in a non-hostile way.
Yeah, Chuck is a verb, too. How about that?
Yeah.
Look at us.
Right.
Joshing and chucking.
Yeah. That's good stuff, Chuck. I can't believe it's taken us this many years to come up with that. If you want to tell us to shut up, you can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. Drop us a line via email at StuffPodcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And wait, don't press stop yet. Go check out our awesome website. It will be your new favorite home on the web. Just bookmark it and do yourself a favor. Make it your homepage. The URL is http://www.stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.